Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here from the sports department. Always good to see you.
Good to see you.
So I Bernie opened the whole Bernie segment with sell, sell, sell. So we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to start with a pleasant existential question. What is it you love about baseball? And I have an answer. I love the rhythm and I love the pageantry. Like, I'm playing old man baseball now. I love putting on my uniform. Mm-hmm. I love going out with fresh socks. I love taking grounders before a game. I go to every Cardinals game I go to an hour, hour and a half early. I love watching the buildup. What about you guys?
I mean, all that's great. I love the fact that there's so many little things going on at any given moment that can have a profound impact the game. There's an outfielder who, if he shades three steps over to his right, might catch a ball as opposed to it being a double. And like, just John Mozeliak talked about this once. He called it, he referred to it almost like a symphony where everything is in, you know, perfection. It's so amazing to watch. And when you can really take a step back and see everything going on the field, I love that. There's just, especially here in St. Louis, there's just something about the game. I mean, and opening day when those Clydesdales come out and when those red jackets come out, I'll get a tear in my eyes sometimes. I have no problem admitting that. So I love everything about baseball.
So all of that stuff is part of the draw, but to me the draw is pitch by pitch, the fight, the competition, the battle, the who's going to get an edge, how am I going to get an edge, what's going to happen in this next pitch, because literally every time you're playing or watching a game, stuff happens that you wouldn't expect. But to me, it's that battle, like, all right, he's thinking fastball in, I'm going to give him breaking ball away. Or as a hitter, man, he got me last time doing that's my brain really likes this pitch by pitch. Where's everybody playing? Who's where? What are they good at? What is this hitter good at? What is this pitcher good at? What's the situation? Where are the base runners? My brain loves that stuff.
I remember playing golf one time. I'm not a good golfer, and I was playing with a good golfer. And he said, Dave, you know what I love most about this game? No matter how good I get or how much I learn, I will never find the outer parameters of this game. Hmm. And that's how I feel about baseball.
Yeah, I also think, and this isn't trash on the sport because I think I'm pretty well established as someone who loves it. When baseball is being played at its best, playoff baseball, things like that, to me, no other sport can hold a candle to it. It is the best. So it's got the highest ceiling. I also think it's got the lowest floor. When there's bad baseball being played, when pitchers aren't engaged, when hitters aren't engaged, like when it's just bad, I think bad baseball is worse than bad basketball, worse than bad hockey, worse than bad football. So it's got the widest range of being good versus bad.
Interesting. So Bernie Miklas says sell, sell, sell. Do we agree?
Yeah. I mean, it's a conversation that it's going to be very obvious when we get to that point, and I think we're moving in that direction now. Could something change between now and then? I guess, and I don't know how to predict whether or not that's going to happen or not. So as the team is playing right now, they're not a team that you're going to add to. They're not a team that looks to be a playoff team. It was a really disappointing performance against Arizona. The disappointing play goes back well beyond that for the last month or so. It hasn't looked good. Can it turn around? It can. I don't know if it will. I'm very doubtful that it will, to be perfect. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love for it to turn around because what we saw from them earlier when they were really good, I don't think that was fool's gold. I was talking about this on the Chris and Amy show earlier today. You know, two things can be true. They can be playing not so great baseball right now, and that doesn't mean that they were this team that was just playing above their skis earlier in the year. Like, I think that's who they were. I think that was legit results. But as the season has gone along and some things have changed, what we're seeing right now, also just as legitimate.
Let me drill down on that. What is it about our level player as opposed to other teams' level of players that would make the early blush not last, if that makes sense? Is there anything about our guys where you go?
Well, they're not as talented. Like, just across the board, they're not as talented. You look at, we've talked, Kevin, you and I have talked about this a lot lately. You look at the lineup as it's being posted right now. You feel good about the top four spots, and you feel pretty bad about the bottom five. When you've got, what's 5 out of 9? 62.5%? Yeah. When 62.5% of your lineup is just not a very good offensive player, you're not going to win many games, and then 60% of your rotation is not giving you a chance to win more often than not. Like, stop the conversation there. They're not good enough.
Well, I mean, the top end of the roster just isn't good enough. Who's your best hitter?
Herrera.
Okay. But he's missed like...
Contreras.
He's missed like, what, 40% of the season at this point?
You can make an argument for Herrera, Contreras, or Donovan, depending on what you want to evaluate.
None of those guys are a top five hitter on the Dodgers. How many of those guys hit the top five for the Cubs? Maybe a couple of them might for the Brewers.
Contreras probably would.
For the Cubs? Who's he up there in front of? Seiya Suzuki's better than him. Tucker's better than him. He's not hitting one or two.
No.
I mean, he's probably their six-hole hitter.
He probably is their six-hole hitter.
And I think this is the ultimately the most difficult part of the puzzle that they've got to crack. They've got to improve the top end level of talent on the roster. Because Wilson Contreras is a very good player. He's not an elite player. Brendan Donovan's a very good player. He's not an elite player. They don't have an elite player on this team. You don't have an elite pitcher on this team. Sonny Gray is very good. Sonny Gray is not elite. If you put Sonny Gray on the top five or six, Sonny Gray on Detroit is their fourth or fifth starter. They got at least two, if not three guys better than him. And I think when you look around, that's the problem is, I think they're, if you take like the top five guys on every team, if you take number 6 through 26, I think the Cardinals are the same as almost everybody.
Very few
teams are not like that, but they don't have the top end.
I hesitate to ask big questions because Matt Pauly does not suffer fools. And I always hate when Matt's like, oh, I can tell you're like, oh, God. But my question is, since we do have the benefit of 2020 hindsight, how did we get here? How did we get here where your lower half are not all that good and your upper half are not all that great?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think your lower part of the roster is any worse than anybody else's bottom of the roster. And I think your mid-level is similar to almost all of the contenders. But you don't have Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Kyle Tucker. You don't have those guys. You don't have a Jackson Chourio like Milwaukee does. And so there's two answers to it. One is they haven't developed an impact starting hitter, like a legitimate all-star caliber hitter since Matt Carpenter. As a long time ago. Matt Carpenter is now retired.
Yeah.
And they haven't developed an impact starting pitcher that has stuck in the major leagues and been around the Cardinals since Jack Flaherty. Now, they've traded a couple that turned out to be pretty good in Zach Gallen and Sandy Alcantara, but they traded those guys to fill the needs because they could never develop the bat. And then the guys they traded for got old. Paul Goldschmidt was great when they got him, and he won an MVP with them. And then he got old. And then Nolan Arenado, that same year, top three MVP guy. They were great at that time. They got old. And they don't have the next group, at least not yet. And I don't know that any of these guys are tracking towards star, right? I mean, Nolan Gorman can be a very good player for you. He's not going to be your superstar.
I don't know. And like J.J. Weatherholt, we talk a lot about him, and I think he's going to be a really, really good player. Are we talking about a superstar level? Like, you can't predict that from somebody. So they've got a... Yeah, like when they in the draft just now, they took hard throw after hard throw after hard thrower.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two of these guys pop into something, and then you got to, in addition to those high end guys that you draft, you got to be bringing in a bunch of people with the skill set that if it all comes together, they can project out to be a difference making player.
And that's part of player development, right? And that's what Chaim Bloom is changing now is how they develop players. So that's going to be different because it has to be. See, because Jordan Walker has all the talent in the world, and that's part developing that is on the team and the player. The player has to be willing to make changes, and he's not. He's stubborn. He has fought changes since becoming a pro, and maybe some point the failure will get to him, and he'll realize, damn, I do need to do those things. But there's also this fact that it's not just Jordan Walker. again, what players have the Cardinals taken in the last 10 years that they've taken in the draft and turned into stars? Brendan Donovan is a B-plus player. He's a hell of a player. They're great at finding those guys. They find tons of those guys, and they're good at developing that. They're not good at finding guys and taking the max end and getting that out of them.
So I look at like a Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
Who is still really young and is
same age as Jordan Walker.
So you go back when he was drafted.
Yep.
Was he like kind of the same as J.J. Weatherholt? Could J.J. Weatherholt, I know he could become Pete Crow Armstrong, but what do you think it is? What is the magic, for lack of a better term, where a Brendan Donovan turns into a PCA?
Well, Donovan never had that skill set. Like, he was a guy that was a lower round pick who is kind of the classic overachiever, which is the guy the Cardinals are great at finding.
They're great at it.
Yeah. They find, I mean, yeah. Tommy Edman, I mean, you name that. You can let Matt Carpenter. They are phenomenal at finding those good. Alec Burleson. They are phenomenal at finding those players that are going to be good major league players. They have been terrible at developing stars. And I think part of it is just they lack the technology that other teams have. They don't have the forward thinking instructors. They were short on instructors for years.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough people. They didn't have a catching instructor until this year. For like 4 years, they didn't have a catching instructor in their minor league system until now. And somehow they've developed good catchers. They've been pretty good at that too. Because you got a pretty good group at this point to work forward with. But it's a combination of not being willing to do what works in modern times when it comes to technology and the use of it. And the use of it in instructing in players and making them better. And also, I mean, probably the types of players they take. They have taken some high upside guys like Gorman and Walker, but then they didn't know what to do with them to get them to the next level. And again, some of that's on the player too. That's the hard part.
They rushed both of them, though.
Well, that's the other thing is clearly, in hindsight, Walker should not have come up when he did.
Even Gorman, I mean, think about when he was killing in a AAA. And the fans were just clamoring for Gorman. And it's so funny now because those are the same fans who want nothing to do with him at this point.
And you know, I think this is a fair criticism of the team. Part of the reason that they brought those guys to the bigs. But look, even Gorman, when he arrived, even though he was kind of overmatched, he wasn't totally ready. He was an above average player his first two major league seasons. I mean, he was 4% above average as a rookie and 16% above average with 27 home runs in his second year. So he might not have been ready, but he was competitive. Jordan Walker's not competitive at the major league level. He doesn't belong in the major leagues at this point. And he's there now because of injuries. He should not be in the major leagues. He's not. His defense has regressed. Remember early in the year, first couple months, his defense was actually pretty good. He stinks again out there.
I would take issue with something you just said, though, Kevin, because you just said he's there because of injuries. Like, he's there. If everybody was healthy, I'm not convinced that he'd be at AAA.
No, that's true. But there's really not much option now. I mean, you could call up who?
Church.
He's not on the 40-man, though, is he?
You could figure it out.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, they don't have... And honestly, Nathan Church probably deserves to be here more than Jordan Walker does.
He absolutely does.
And because that Jordan Walker's a first-round pick and he's been up, and they seem to be locked into this position now, well, we can't send him back. You might have to. But part of the reason they rushed those guys is because they were already short at the major league level and didn't have the lineup depth that they needed. So they're like, well, this guy's got great physical ability. He's killing it at AA, or in Gorman's case, killing it at AAA. So we're going to give them their shot, even if they're not ready.
Weird analogy. You know how you get a splinter and you're like, I'm going to have to pull this thing out.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt so bad. But it's still there. It's not out yet. I'm still kind of playing with it like a loose tooth. Is that what we've done this year with the runway season?
It's not a runway seat. Like, I'm not trying to get annoyed. It never was. Like, it called it that.
It was packaging.
Yeah, but that's not what it was. I mean, I can call you anything you want, but your name's Dave. Like, that's not what it is. It's not been a runway season. It has simply been, we're moving on from some expensive players. These are the guys that are left on the team. Most of them are kind of young, and we're going to play them. That's what the season has been.
Yeah, and they did need to a degree, I think this kind of season was necessary. Because you've sorted through. And we're not done yet. You've got 2 months before we give final grades. But based on what you've seen so far, you cannot count on Jordan Walker for next year.
Did we learn what we needed to learn?
We're getting there. Like, we learned that Alec Burleson is a quality major league hitter. Probably not an elite, but he's quality major league hitter. We've learned that Victor Scott right now is not a good major league hitter. We've learned that Mason Wynn has a lot of offensive things to work on, but he can really play shortstop. So we've learned that Newt Barr is still not, you can't rely on him. Combination of inconsistency and injury, you cannot count on him for next year. So you've learned, but I would say ideally you would have learned more in a plus. And, you know, with Gorman, you've kind of learned, yeah, you know, he may just be the tweener that's going to hit home runs and not be a star.
Okay.
I mean, it's
a good segment. I learned a lot.
It's hard because, yeah, there are 2 months, you know, a couple of guys go on a good 2 month run. Maybe they change that story. But as of today, that, and we've learned that the starting pitching stinks. Like, you got three guys that you don't know what you're getting anytime out, and you got two other guys that were good most of the year, but they're really struggling right now.
See, I don't know what a runway season is because I haven't seen one yet.
Yep.
Well, and it's been runway for some and not for others.
Yeah.
Right? It's runway for Alec Burleson. It's not runway for Michael McGreevy, who's sitting in the minor leagues watching guys that he's better than start games.
Yeah.
By the way, he pitches tonight.
Yes. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Welcome back, DJ.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
GS, we were talking earlier about smells like Donald Trump is kind of panicking now. He's throwing out bring the Redskins back and the Indians, and here's all the MLK files. Did you see what he put up last night?
No.
An AI video of Obama being arrested, linked in with Pepe the Frog.
Oh, for God's sake.
He's pulling out all the stops.
Just distraction after distraction after distraction.
Yeah.
I can't be the only one who's just bored by it, right? Like, it doesn't elicit any sort of emotional response from me. I'm just
kind of dead inside.
Yeah, I'm so used to this. It's just like, oh, okay.
Let me say,
there he goes again.
For someone who plays the role of a tough guy, all of this is really soft.
And her boyfriend too. Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.